Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Today's Bible story is weird. It's also subversive and offensive and just a little bit beautiful. But first, let's just acknowledge that it's weird. If when you heard Pastor Dixon reading from Luke's gospel earlier in the service, you found yourself grimacing or gagging or just thinking to yourself, wait, what? That's totally normal because the story is just kind of gross, right? I mean, regardless of what ancient dinner party customs may have once been, in our day, you don't crash a dinner party and start washing the guest of honor's feet with your tears and your hair, no matter how much fancy perfume you're packing. You just don't do it. Am I right? Does anybody here show up uninvited to somebody's dinner party to deliver a hairy foot washing? No, of course not, because it's just not right. And you pretty quickly get the sense that folks didn't do this on the regular in Jesus' day either. Simon, the Pharisee, the host of the party, is really uncomfortable with what's happening in his house. Sure, he had heard rumors that Jesus was someone who ate with questionable folks, with tax collectors and sinners. But he didn't think Jesus would bring those kind of people into his house. Moreover, Simon surely couldn't have imagined that Jesus would allow a woman of the city to do something like this, this intimate, right where everyone could see it. What kind of prophet or rabbi is this man? This is the final week of a series of sermons that are trying to make the case for why, in the midst of a lot of competing forces demanding your time and your attention and your money, should church be one of them? What's the benefit? Why church? And this week we're proposing that one of the reasons that we participate in this church thing is that so we can give thanks. Now I'll grant you that sounds like a pretty stereotypical churchy thing to say, especially on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Count your blessings, be grateful, and all that kind of stuff. But there's good scientific evidence that suggests gratitude is beneficial for your emotional and psychological well-being. Countless studies have been done with both folks who report high levels of mental health, feeling pretty solid and grounded, and others who are experiencing some mental illness. Both groups, it shows that doing things like keeping a gratitude list, sending thank you notes, and participating in pay it forward exercises, it improves everybody's sense of well-being. Gratitude is good for you. But if you're like me, sometimes it's hard to just be grateful. I get that it's something that we practice, a muscle that we can strengthen, a disposition toward the world that we can cultivate. But sometimes things feel particularly heavy or dark or out of control, and I can't summon the will to just be grateful. And no matter how hard I try or how carefully I think, anything that I put on my gratitude list can feel just a little trite. And look, I don't mean to turn today's sermon into a group therapy session, but sometimes I feel like the mindfulness and the journals and all of the things that we should and could be doing to cultivate a better, happier, shiny version of ourselves just feels hard. You know? But then there's this woman. Gratitude is just flowing out of her, literally. The tears are streaming, the gifts are flowing, the acts of service, well, there's no escaping them. It's all right there for everyone to see. Except they don't see. At least they don't really see. In verse 44, Jesus says to Simon the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman?" Well, on one level, of course he sees her. He probably hasn't been able to take his eyes off her since she entered the house. She's a sinner, a woman of ill repute. By all measures and standards of the day, she's unclean and impure. Her very presence in his house at this meal threatens to make all of the other people in the house, good and faithful religious folk, unclean. Of course he sees her. But Jesus says to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" He does, but not like Jesus does. He sees her as a threat, as a violation, as someone or something that needs to be removed or expunged to protect and preserve what is good and right and decent. But the woman that Jesus sees, the woman that Jesus sees is not a woman of the city, a woman of the street, a known sinner. The woman that Jesus sees is beloved. The woman is known to God and known by God. This woman is and forever will be a child of God, made whole and right because Jesus has seen her and loved her and set her free. And Jesus wants all of the people in the room to see it. So he declares that her sins are forgiven, a truth of which she's already become well aware. But the room needs to hear it. They need to see, they need to know that this woman belongs. This is what happens when folks get close to Jesus, when they draw near to the presence of the living God. They're seen in the fullness of who they are. They're seen. So when you come here on Sunday, when you enter into this place of worship, know that Jesus sees you. The real you, not what people say about you, not your successes or your failures, not the person that you present to the world. No, Jesus sees the real you. And you're the person that Jesus loves. And when you encounter that kind of love, when it washes over you, whether you're ready for it or not, you can't help but be consumed with gratitude. It's not something you can summon, but it's certainly something you can celebrate. The uncomfortable thing is it's not just for you. It's for her and for him and for them. It's for the person and the people that are the other, the ones that we find offensive and maybe even repulsive. This kind of love and acceptance can't just be for you. Or for me, or for us. It has to be for those who should never even enter the room. It has to be for the people that don't deserve it. Because then and only then might we be able to trust that it is and forever will be for us and for this whole world. And that's something that we can give thanks for this day and always. Amen.